Go to Galatians chapter 6 this morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am very delighted to be able to present to you a truth that I believe God is speaking throughout the body of Christ. I'm excited to be hooked up to it. I'm excited to declare to you, read it with me, it's on the screen, that do not be deceived. Come on, read it with me. God is not mocked, for whatever a man that he will also reap. Now, I want you to see something, church. You got to get into this right away. It does not say money. It says whatever. Okay? Whatever. It's not limited to just money. You and I have to understand this is a law. It is a law of seed time and harvest. It is a law of sowing and reaping. So whatever a man invests, he can also expect to receive from that investment. So therefore, I need to understand something. If I'm sowing kindness, if I'm sowing love, if I'm sowing unity, if I'm sowing acceptance, if I'm sowing value or help into another person's life, I can understand, according to the law of sowing and reaping, I can expect to receive that back to me. You understand what I'm talking about? So it doesn't limit it to just money. There are two distinctives, though, about investing. Now, I'm not a financial investor. I'm a word investor. And that's why I want to give this truth to you today. Because I believe that if you want your future to be ready and waiting in abundant harvest for you, you're going to have to begin sowing and planting today. Some of us are experiencing famine in a lot of areas of our life because we were limited in our sowing of those particular aspects of our life in our past. So I want you to look at it with me in 2 Corinthians 9:6. This is a powerful scripture. Let's read it together if you can get it up on the screen there. But this I say, come on, let's read it out loud. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now keep that scripture up. Keep in mind, I am not limiting this truth to money. Money only in this truth actually does a disservice to this law. We must see it a little broader. We must see it on a larger scope, a perspective of God. Because he's telling us two distinctives about investing. You either invest sparingly or you invest bountifully. So those are the distinctives about sowing or investing. Whatever. So if I don't take opportunity to invest in another person's life bountifully, I cannot expect a bountiful harvest in my future. That's why you and I need to get up in the morning, ask the Holy Spirit to show us where it is we can make investment in other people. Because other people are really the field that will produce your bountiful harvest. Or other people is the field that will produce a sparingly made harvest. So I need to realize that. That's why when I go to the grocery store, as I did not long ago, and I'm only telling you as a way of illustration and spur you on to good works, a young lady behind me, obviously I could tell economically she wasn't doing all that well for various reasons I won't discuss. She had a few small grocery items with her. I had my belt filled right to the capacity where that little plastic divider was right on the end. She was waiting for my stuff to move forward so she can lay it on the belt. I looked over at her and I said, Holy Spirit, am I to pay for this? And I said, Lord, only if you want to, only if you speak will I do it, God. Now, if you don't want me to do it, just tell me you don't want me to do it, because I don't want to act on presumption here. I know that only faith pleases you. So God, I'm just trying to check in with headquarters, and I'm wondering, what is your will? No, I didn't do all that. I said, hey, excuse me. I said, just put your stuff right on my pile, just on the other side of that little divider. She goes, oh, no, no, no. I said, oh, yeah. I said, I just want to be a blessing to you today. Reluctantly, she put it on there, paid for the materials that she had, gave her a greeting, said, God bless you, have a great day. She went on her way. But what was I doing? It's the same thing I'm doing when I'm trying to get gas, and I look across the other side of the pump, and I ask the Holy Spirit, should I put $5 worth of gas in that person's car? Should I pay for all of their gas here today? God, you know I'm struggling. I need to get all the money I can get just for my gas. But I'm asking the Holy Spirit, because I understand that if I am a bountiful investor, then I can expect a bountiful harvest. My sowing is for the now. My reaping is for my tomorrow.
That's right.
So when I get to my tomorrow, I can fully expect by faith, based on what I've sown, according to the law of Galatians 6:7, that whatever a man sows, he will also reap. I did it not sparingly, I did it bountifully. So therefore, I can stand in faith today and go, I'm expecting a bountiful harvest today, because of what I have sown in the past. You know, there are times when people will come into church. I saw a lady earlier in the first service. She walked in. It was obvious. She didn't know who we were. She knew no one. All the greeters were there welcoming her, overwhelming her. She was like, get back. You all are too close for comfort. I could just see it on her. I'm standing there. And I wanted to shake her hand, and I could tell she was already uncomfortable. And I just said, good morning, and I kind of let her go. She stood along the side waiting, obviously, for somebody that she knew so she could get into the service. Well, what I did is I tried to go to her to make her feel comfortable. The reason why I needed to do that was because it was investment time. I should not ignore the feelings that she was facing at that moment. Also, there are people that walk in that aren't sure about their God's acceptance in their life. You can almost tell their shoulders are rounded. They're kind of bent over. They've got a saddened face. I saw one lady that walked in the first service this morning. When I said hello to her, she started crying. Now, there is an investment opportunity for me as a believer. You and I have been given investment opportunities every day and every minute of our life. And we either are going to sow bountifully into them, or we're going to say, you know what, I really don't have time for that right now. I really don't have the extra money. I really don't think that it's important that I do that. Listen, you and I need to guarantee our future in a bountiful way. Then we're going to have to start believing that whatsoever a man sows, he will also reap. Now, sparingly or bountifully. Go back to Galatians 6. Look at the next verse. Verse 8. Galatians 6 and verse 8. Can you read it with me? Let's try it. Whoever sows to please their flesh. Now just stop right there. It's interesting, isn't it? The Bible is so inclusive. First of all, it's whatever a man sows. Now it's whoever sows it. God says, look, I don't really care whatever it is. It's fine with me. And whoever wants to do it, this law will work. Doesn't have to be just a preacher or a theologian. Doesn't have to be a wealthy person. Doesn't have to be someone with some kind of socioeconomic status of some kind that's recognized by their peers. No, no. He said, whoever. And I realized this morning, I'm a whoever. I'm just a category of whoever. And I know that when I release my investment to make someone feel welcome or consoled or encouraged, whether I do it by buying groceries, welcoming a person, taking the time to make them feel comfortable, I understand that it is sowing whatever. So I'm a whoever doing whatever I can in order to invest in the law of God, because I know seed time and harvest is a truth that will come to pass in my future. So my investment today is for my future. It's for my family's future. It's for this church's future. I received a phone call from an old friend who said he was going to be up in Ohio visiting family in Amherst, which is a suburb outside of Lorain. He used to attend our church. He's now retired. He's in his 70s. He and his wife live in Tennessee. I knew what he was asking by not asking. He wanted to know if he could preach. Well, I had a great message I was going to preach on decaffeinated Christianity. I preached that here on Wednesday night. I was getting ready to preach it on Thursday night and wax eloquent. But he called and said he's going to be in the area. He said, I know you probably got things already scheduled, but if there's an opening, he said, I'd love to really share the Word of God. I thought, well, Lord, bountiful, sparingly, what do I want to do here? I said, no, wait a minute, there's no choice here. I said, I'd love for you to come and preach and share the Word of God. And the reason why is I'm thinking, when I'm in my mid-70s or getting close to 80 and I'm in retirement and I call up one of my preacher friends, I want to get a bountiful response. I don't want to get a response that says, sorry, we're all filled up. I got a great message. I feel led of the Lord to preach. I thought, no. I understand this is an opportunity for bounty. And so they present themselves to us all the time. Did we look at verse 8 yet? We didn't finish it. All right, here we go. Ready? Let's read it. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Stop right there and don't take the scripture down. Just hold it there for a second. It says simply this, whoever sows to please themselves, whoever makes investment for their immediate gratification, for what's best for me. Whoever invests for their present status or their perceived need will reap the same from destruction. In other words, that's a destructive behavior. But watch this. Read the rest of it. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Now, whoever sows to please the kingdom or the king of the kingdom, from the king or the kingdom, they will reap eternal life. Now, other words, salvation, soteria. I can expect that when I sow to please the Spirit and not myself, I can fully expect to reap the benefits of soteria, salvation, which means more than just going to heaven. It also means my healing. It also means my joy, my peace. It also means all my needs being met. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So now I realize that I'm sowing to please the kingdom and not necessarily sowing or investing to please myself. Can I tell you, when you got up this morning or when you went off to school as a little kindergartner, this world system will teach you that you and I need to learn how to take care of number one. Take care of yourself, because ain't nobody going to do it for you. Right? In other words, we're taught the exact opposite. But God's kingdom is an inverted kingdom. And we realize when we operate by the law of God rather than the philosophy of man, we can take that which is upside down and turn it right side up. So we see now that our reaping will come as a result of eternal life. Now go over to Exodus. Actually, before you go there, go to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40. I want to show you this truth. Jesus is having a dialogue because he's saying that, you know, I was in prison and y'all didn't even come see me. He didn't say me, but you didn't visit anybody. And he said, I'm naked and you didn't clothe me. I'm hungry, you didn't feed me. And they're saying, Lord, we don't understand. What are you saying? How did we not see you when you were in prison? You weren't in prison. How did we not feed you when you were hungry? You weren't hungry. And he said, assuredly, let's read that part. Assuredly, I say to you, come on, read it out loud. Inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Let me add a little bit to the scripture. I know you're not supposed to do that because that's bad, but let me add to it now. Inasmuch as I say to you, as you did it to the one behind you in the grocery line, you did it to me. Now we're finding out that the field of planting is in the hearts and lives of other people. You can never go wrong by being kind to someone. As a matter of fact, Jesus took it another level. He said, love your enemies. Meaning the people that don't even like you, that in the world would disqualify you from being kind or committing acts of charity. He said, it's those people that I want you to love even more. And it's like, Jesus, you got to be kidding. This Christianity stuff's for the birds. This is terrible. I'm not doing that. Do you know what they did to me? But God's saying, listen, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about you. This is a law that governs my kingdom. You cannot allow yourself to get caught up in the web of revenge to those that have hurt you, or to those that have despitefully used you, or to those who have did you wrong. You cannot hold a grudge against them, because your future is coming. And if you sow sparingly now, you're going to reap sparingly then, and you're going to live in a famine. You say, a famine of what? Well, whatever. You follow what I'm saying? The Bible didn't say what. He said, whatever you sow. So I can understand that whatever I sow or whatever I don't sow, I am not going to bountifully receive as a harvest. So now I need to understand Christian virtue. I need to begin understanding what is the laws of sowing and reaping. How do I operate in this thing? Why is it important for me to operate in the gifts of the Spirit? Why is it important for me to operate in the fruit of the Spirit? Because I realize that those things are seeds to my future. I today, this morning, have got to make a decision how I treat my wife, how I relate to my children, how I relate to you, how I relate to a stranger, how I begin to invest in other people. It's not only just for them or a display that I go to church, but it's because I believe in a law of seed time and harvest that when I begin to operate in, it'll become evident to you down the road. The reason why I'm blessed and I have abundance in my life is because I took God's field, other people, and I invested or sowed seeds into their life. You cannot afford to be a racist. You cannot afford to be a person of disunity, division, hatred, bigotry, isolation. You cannot afford that. Hear this, preacher. If you choose that kind of pathway, you're going to be living in a time of famine. But I got good news for you. Because even when you're hungry, even when you can't find a friend because you didn't sow friendship, even when you can't find love and understanding because you sowed discord, I've got to tell you, there's a Joseph in the land of Egypt, and there's bread in his house, and he will not despise you if you come to him in the hour of your need. Jesus Christ will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the good news. But on the interim, ladies and gentlemen, there's no reason for you and me to live a famished life without the benefits of the kingdom of God operating in maximum levels in our life. Why? Because that's the announcement that the kingdom of God is here. There's no reason why some of us ought to be sitting in the same house this morning. In the natural, you might think, God, if I hadn't been saved, I'd cut her. Lord, I can't believe they're over there on the other side of the church. I thought we left that church. Here they come following us. Oh, I'm about to go over there and tell her a thing or two. Wait a minute. Had it not been for Jesus. You follow what I'm saying? Don't follow into the seduction of the spirit of this world that is attempting to get you to operate in the distinctive of sparingly investing in the lives of others based on the infringement on their part, mistreatment on their part, attitudes on their part, hatred on their part. That's why you and I need to take the attitude of Jesus that says, you can forsake me, you can betray me, you can talk about me, you can dog me out, you can falsely accuse me, but I'm still going to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. They don't know what they're doing. I'm going to say that because the confounding principle of this world is to see a people who believe in the laws of God and are not governed by the laws of this world. That's what Leon was saying earlier. We're not governed by philosophies or politics of this world. We have a higher kingdom with a higher set of laws, with a higher standard, that when we operate in it, we see abundance come to us. Amen? Amen. Look over at Exodus 23 and 25. Now, some of you are part-time employees. And that's hard because there are so many people out of work. I think they said something like 27 million people are out of work. 40-some million are on food stamps. I mean, it's a ridiculous amount of numbers of people that are hurting. I saw a billboard on the way in today. It said 1 out of 6 people in America are hungry. I said, Lord, it's the greatest nation on the earth. There's no reason for 1 out of 6 people to be hungry this morning. There's something wrong. There's something amiss. And I got a little insight from the Word of God. Let's read the Scripture together. And I know you might be annoyed by this. You think, I don't go to church. I don't talk out loud. I don't like read Bible verses out loud. Leave me alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to make you read them. No, I can't make you do anything. Sit there and defy me. That's fine. You don't have to. But just remember this. Whatever. All right, let's read it. So you shall serve the Lord your God. And number one, he will bless your bread. Number two, and your water. Number three, and take sickness away from your midst. Sounds like a full-time employment with all the benefits. Those benefits are for full-time employees. Sometimes part-time employees, they don't get the benefit package because you have to work 40 hours a week or 32 or 33 hours in order to qualify by the policy manual of that particular company. So a lot of companies will keep you at 29 hours or 30 hours to only pay you an hourly wage, but you cannot get the benefits should you need them. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? Let me tell you something. You may have part-time employment in here today, but there ought not to be one believer who has part-time believing status. Amen. Don't come in here being a part-time Christian. Because if you're a part-time Christian, how can you get the benefits of full-time Christianity? He said you're going to have to serve the Lord and do what? You're going to get benefits when you go into full-time service to God. So, ladies and gentlemen, your level of investment is going to determine your level of ultimate attainment in your life. Let me say it again. Put it up on the screen, please. Your level of investment will determine your level of ultimate attainment in life. In other words, Jesus taught in John 12, 24, if a grain of wheat, unless it goes into the ground and does what? It remains alone. But if it goes into the ground and dies, it will produce much fruit. It's really a paradox. Jesus was teaching this. Life comes out of death. Isn't that interesting? Life comes out of death. It's a paradox. But what he was teaching us is when we give ourselves away, that's when life comes. That's when life comes. That's why Exodus said, when you serve the Lord, these are the benefits. The psalmist said it this way in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord. Right? And forget not all His benefits. See, I got up this morning and I thought, Lord, I'm only going to serve you part of the day. Because when church is over, hey. No, I didn't. But that would be part-time service. Or I'm not going to church today, part-time service. I could help out in children's church, but part-time service. I could begin to make this investment and sow this in this person's life, part-time service. There was a misnomer when I first came into ministry, and Pastor Tossie and Rita, you guys might equate with this. Ron, Pat, maybe others who've been in ministry full-time, Clarence, you probably understand what I'm about to say. When I became the pastor of this church many, many years ago, long, long time ago, it was expected by my leadership and accepted by my congregation that not only do I preach, vision cast, train up leaders, do funerals, do weddings, minister to people, counseling, but every Thursday I cut the grass. I swear, I got pictures of me in a white shirt and a tie pushing the lawnmower in front of the church. Not only that, but every Sunday night, I had to clean the nursery. Because Sunday morning when the workers were in there, they left all the diapers in the pail. And I knew that if it didn't get emptied, that it would be a foul smell in the evening. And they weren't touching it. So yours truly went in there and bagged them up and took them to the dumpster. Not only that, but I vacuumed the foyer. Because I didn't want people coming to church on Sunday night looking at dirty old foyer with pieces of paper all over the place and all of that. Then I checked the bathrooms and flushed the toilets. I don't understand, you know, for the life of me, why people don't flush the toilet. I know. That is a weird... Just let me tell you, whatever a man sows... And some of you ladies say, yeah, I can't understand why they don't pick up the seed either. I don't. So I'd have to clean the bathrooms. And then I'd have to get the Windex out and do all the glass doors because all the fingerprints were all over. And I don't want people coming back to the church with fingerprints all over the windows, so I had to clean those up. Then I had to get ready because if it was wintertime, I had to shovel the snow because I sure didn't want the saints of God. Clarence, you know what I'm talking about. Pastor Tossie, do you know anything about what I'm talking about? Yeah, you guys got a little bit of it. Okay. So then I'm out there. It's 10 degrees, 30 mile an hour winds. I'm in a suit, and I'm shoveling the sidewalks so people can get from the parking lot into the church and not get their feet covered in snow. Bless their little hearts. I swear there were times I would come in after an experience like that from sweating because you're so exposed to the elements. I'm heated up and it's wind chills of below zero. I had icicles on my eyebrows. I had snow and icicles coming out of my nostrils. I'm soaking wet around my collar. And then I had to get ready to preach. Oh, I didn't tell you about this. There was a day when I had to be the sound man. Now, I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people back in the sound room. I just want you all to know, I used to do your job myself. I did. I'd come into church. I said all the things. I come here. Praise God. 1, 2, test, test. 1, 2, test. 1, 2. No, that's not good. Okay, that's better. All right, that's good. And I said, nobody touch the sound room. I've already got it all ready. I'll never forget the service. Never forget the service. This is honest to God truth. I'm not exaggerating. I was ready to take the offering. I asked for ushers. There weren't any. So I prayed for the offering, went and got the bags and passed them. He said, oh, you're kidding. Ask my wife, am I telling the truth? I'm really praying for those Christians back then. Because they're all gone now. I don't know where they're at. But I do know this. Whatever. Jesus said something crazy good in the Bible. You want one more verse? You got time? Are you good? I won't keep you long. I could. When Leon announced a song that's 1,000 songs, I said, oh, Jesus, I'm not going to preach till 4 o'clock. But we got in here, didn't we? All right, here we go. Luke, verse 13. Now, this is a story about Jesus teaching on talent, gifting. Let me just make this announcement. Don't try to be like somebody you're not. You know, be comfortable in your own skin. Be comfortable in your gift. Operate in your gift. Don't worry about somebody else's gift. You don't need a makeover. You don't need to be like them. All right, watch this. Luke 19, verse 13. Jesus was teaching on the giving of the talents. He gave one guy 10, gave another one 5. How much did that last guy get, 2 or 1? One. He got one talent. And just hold that scripture right there. And he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take this gift, and I want you to go and occupy. Do business. He came back, and we know the story. The 10 doubled his money. He had 20. He said, wow, well done, that good and faithful servant. The 5, he doubled it. He had 10. Wow. Got to the last guy. He said, here's your one talent. I buried it, and I saved it for you. And the master said, you could have at least put it in the bank. Are you serious? And he called him a wicked slave and cast him out. And here's what this verse is now saying. He called all the 10 of his servants, delivered to them this amount, and he said to them, do business till I occupy. Now, in the King James, it's better accurate interpretation. It actually says occupy. Everybody say occupy. Now, I'm going to teach you a little bit. I won't be long. But if I look over there next to Marcus and I see an empty seat and I think, I'm going to occupy that seat. And so I walk over here and I say, hey, Marcus, how's it going? I'm so glad you're here this week, man. It's great to meet you. God bless you. I'm going to occupy the seat. But that's not what that scripture says. Actually, what that scripture says, Chuck, don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. I want that seat. Sorry, I know you're in it, and you're occupying it right now, but I want it. So would you please move? Thank you. Hi, Tony, how are you? It's good to see you. I know he used to sit there, but I'm taking over now. You can get back in your seat. Thank you. It means drawing out previous tenets. It means possessing their place. In other words, Jesus said, I'm going to give you some gifting, and here's what I want you to do with it. Dispossess those that are not supposed to be in that space. Occupy. Take over an unauthorized tenant that is taking up space that you are supposed to own. Now, here's how I want you to do it. I want you to seize it. Carpe diem. I want you to seize it. I want you to rob it. In other words, I want you to hold them up at gunpoint and say, you're out. In other words, I want you to inherit it. I want you to expel it. I want you to impoverish them to a point where they can't stand anymore. I want you to ruin them in that place. I want you to cast them out, consume them, destroy them, dispossess them, drive them out, expel them, get in possession, seize upon and succeed in that place where they currently are occupying. Now, why do I bring that up? Because the law of sowing and reaping predicates occupying. You and I make investment with the gifting God has given us so that we can dispossess an enemy who's taking that place illegally. There's a generation who has filled the minds of our teenagers and children with the philosophies of man and with carnality and with wickedness and with lawlessness. But I'm here to announce to you today, I'm about to make an investment into my future in the kingdom of God, and I'm going to dispossess what is currently occupying the minds of the children. You follow what I'm saying? So it is a very aggressive military, it is a very decisive term that is telling the church, it is time to engage in your gifting and displace those things that are here illegally. The kingdom of God has come. It was the prayer of Jesus, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it will not solely, please hear me, it will not solely occur by which particular political candidate you vote for. Jesus did not say, go to the polls and cast your vote. He said, occupy, seize, inherit, dispossess, take over. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, it's one thing to vote for a candidate that's pro-life. It's another thing to go down to the Cornerstone Pregnancy Center and volunteer. Don't shout me down. As a matter of fact, it's easier to verbalize your opinion on Facebook or Twitter or to talk to somebody about your political views than it is to actually go over there and occupy. Because now I got to confront. Now I got to talk to you. You're in my seat. You're in my place. I'm not going to stand for it. I can't let you stay there. I'm sorry. Your days are numbered. You got to move out. In other words, I'm making an exchange. I'm making an exchange. For what is to what shall be, to what has been, but what has come to this earth. The kingdom of this earth has become the kingdom of our Christ and of our Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, we are kingdom-minded people. Do you have time for one more verse? Okay, that was six of you. The rest of you are dismissed. Hallelujah. Don't stop. Okay. Be you and me, brother. My wife will even go home. Acts 6, verses 2 to 4. The church was growing. The power of God was being displayed. The gifts of the Spirit were in manifestation. People were being baptized. People were being saved out of religion. People are experiencing the grace of God, the dynamic of God, the power of God. And yet, here's what happened. There was a dispute among the Hellenistic and the Hebrew Jews. And they're disputing over who gets to get the food first. In other words, don't worry about the food distribution as much as it was the natural, practical side of the ministry that was having difficulty, was having problems. And so the apostles got together. And the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples, got the church together, and they said, it's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and cut the grass of the church. I just thought I'd throw that in there. Those folks aren't in my church anymore anyway. Hey, you know, the congregation I have now is the best I've ever had in 33 years. I'm serious. It really is. You guys are most faith-filled, word-filled, hungry for God, spirit-filled, loving. I mean, it's the best church I've had hundreds of congregations in this one church. And you're all the best. Just do it. Yeah, you are. Watch. It's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. In other words, the table ministry of the practice of what it takes to distribute the word of God in ministry. Look at the next verse. Verse 3, please. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven chumps that don't know the Bible and know nothing about the anointing. Just find some ragtag people that are going to be willing to help out once in a while. No, he didn't say that. What did he say? He said, seek out from among you what? Seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, and appoint them over this occupation, over this business, over this repossessing, over this kingdom empowerment. So I don't want you to think for a minute just because you're not preaching or teaching that your gift is inferior. As a matter of fact, it is equal to in the gifting that you flow in, and it's necessary. Let me make this announcement. If there is a failure at the table ministry, if there's a failure in the table ministry, there will ultimately be a failure in the altar ministry. I'm talking about the preaching, teaching, oversight ministry. If there's a failure in the ushers, if there's a failure in the altar ministers, if there's a failure in children, if there's a failure in youth, if there's a failure in cleanup, if there's a failure in platform, if there's a failure in worship, if there's a failure in any of these ancillary ministries of the church, there will ultimately be a failure in the pulpit, a failure in the altar. We are codependent. We are necessary one with another. What's dangerous is an altar minister leaving the word, an altar calling, to leave the word in prayer and set up the tables for the event. Clean the church, load up this thing, pick up that, change the light bulb, vacuum the carpet, empty out the dirty diapers from the nursery. There's a danger in that. You know why? Because it's called operating outside of the gift and calling. That's dangerous for the church. Not that we're above that. I'd do that in a heartbeat, and I have done that. I carried in 1,000 calendars on Wednesday night, picked them up from Christy, and brought them over and handed them out and get ready. I'll do that. That doesn't bother me. I'll vacuum. I'll clean. But it is not my calling. You follow what I'm saying? So the church is going to have to learn whatsoever I sow. So if I sow vacuuming the carpet, that's a sowing bountifully. If I do it with excellence, if I do it because you can depend on me, if I serve in the nursery and I do it with excellence and you can depend on me, it is bountiful sowing. That is preparing my future for a bountiful harvest. Do you follow what I'm saying? So ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the church to engage. It's time for the church to occupy. That's why we've got to go to the open house after service. You say, well, I don't have any kids. I raised my babies. Oh, that's right. That scripture did say, occupy only if you have children still in the church. Didn't say that. Why are you so quiet? I must ask myself, as we approach this Thanksgiving season, what is the level of my investment? Has it been bountiful, or have I done it sparingly? In preparation for Thanksgiving, I must ask myself, what level am I on? Am I on the bountiful level, or am I on the sparingly level? I need to ask myself that question. You need to ask yourself that question. Because God, by His Spirit, is looking for a church that will occupy two levels in this age: the altar and the table. And many times there is a crossover in both. We have to ask ourselves that question. If you could please put up my last slide, I would appreciate that. But looking for those who will occupy, looking for those who will possess the will of God in the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I need to realize that this world system is disintegrating. Don't put your hope and trust in it. While it is still day, do the works of God. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off till tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. So I have to ask myself, in preparation for this great holiday that the nation observes, to the believer, what level am I giving on? You can store up food, buy a generator, buy a gas mask, dig a hole in the ground and concrete walls. You can put iron gates on it and think your future secure, or do the practical things. I don't know what all that is. Or you can begin sowing bountifully.
That's right.
Why? Because my harvest, according to God's law, will always be bountiful. The whole world may not have electricity, but it's going to be light in Goshen. You understand what I'm talking about? It was kind of funny this last storm. We live right on the lake. 70 mile an hour winds. Carmen, you know what I'm talking about. Tore our siding off. Tore our shingles off. But we still had power.
Come on.
Yes, we did. Woo! And all my kids came running to Goshen. April had no power for what? 7 days? No power for 7 days. Mary had no power for 5 days. Louie had no power for 5 days or 4 days. And they're all over my house, lining up to take showers, watching TV, kids entertained. And I said, ain't it good to know somebody that's got a bountiful harvest? Not that they don't. Not that they don't. Don't misinterpret me. But I just got to brag on Jesus a little bit. I've got great confidence about my future. I don't know how God's going to do it. But if he's got to bring in a ballistic missile with a Whopper and fries on it, he's going to do it. I don't know. All I know is I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Hey, hey. Yeah. All right. That's enough right there. I'm going to quit. Yeah, it's 10 to 2, man.
We got time.
No, are you? Time keeps on ticking, ticking, ticking. Into the future. Go back to the definition one last time of occupy, please. And I promise to close with this. I'm going to draw out current previous tenants.
Come on.
And I'm going to live in houses I didn't build. So you're going to make me preach more. I can't do that. Because that's really what that says. That's really what that says. You're going to eat from vineyards you didn't plant. You're going to live in houses you didn't build. In other words, God says, if you'll operate in the gift, if you'll begin to function under this law of sowing and reaping, you're going to be able to walk into a house that you didn't build, you didn't pay for. In other words, I'm going to bless you by getting them out and putting you in.
Come on.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's enough. Take that off there because I... Just go black screen or go something pretty up there. Take that off. Because you're going to make me preach some more. Turn it off. Take it off. Take it off. This morning, ladies and gentlemen, the best thing that you could ever sow is your life.
Come on.
To the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the starting place. If you haven't sown your heart, if you haven't given your life to God, in other words, it's no longer I that live, die to myself so that I can have life. John 12:24. It's the paradox. Life comes out of death. If you haven't started there, you can't even begin making investments for your future harvest. That's the first place. So please, before you leave today, consider Jesus. Every man was born in sin. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ our Lord. The good news is that he paid the price for the sin. Death was demanded. Sin demands death, but he paid it willingly so you and I can live forever. So bow your heads with me. You're here this morning. You say, Pastor, I like that prayer. I'd like to have Christ as my Savior, as my Lord. I want heaven. I don't want hell. I want God. I don't want to serve the Satan or this world. I'm ready to go forward and minister and in power and sow to my future in righteousness. I'm ready to embrace this gospel full time. I'm tired of being a part-time believer. Pray for me, Pastor. Man, if that's you, nobody looking around, would you just do me a favor on the count of three? I want you to lift your hand up, reach up to God, not to me, not to acknowledge me, but that you would acknowledge God. Are you ready? One, two, three. If that's you, hold your hand up high enough. Hand up, come on, high enough. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. How many more? Eight, 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 nine, nine. Any more? Lift it up high enough that I could see it. Thank you. You can put them down. If you haven't raised your hand the first time and you say, I was that 10th person, preacher, but I didn't do it, but I want to do it, and I want to ask you, sir, ma'am, will you do it now? Please, if you didn't do it the first time, throw that hand up high enough for God to see it. Do it now. Just lift it up, hold it there, and say, I want God. I need Him in my life. I'm going to start serving God with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, with everything within me. I'm going for God. I'm giving Him 100%. Thank you, number 10. God bless you. But you're more than a number. God knows your name. God knows the numbers of hair on your head. He knows your future. He saw you intricately woven in your mother's womb even before you got there. He had already written a history book about your future. And the devil may have come and scribbled on the pages. But I'm here to tell you, God can still read the writing. And He'll restore you. And those of you that raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to do something in a minute. I'm going to ask altar ministers to stand to my left and to my right. They're filled with the love of God, the faith of God, the Holy Spirit. They're ready to minister to you. They've got the biggest smiles on their faces you've ever seen. They love you. We're going to stand as a congregation in a minute. And here's what I want you to do, ladies and gentlemen. Those of you that raise your hand before you go that way, would you come this way? We just want to pray for you. We just want to believe God with you. We want to come in agreement. The Bible says two or three agree, touching anything, it shall be done. Are you ready, ladies and gentlemen? Let's all stand as a congregation. If you raise your hand, get up from where you're standing right now. Make your way down here. Ladies, find another lady. Guys, find another guy. And let's pray one for another. Thank you for responding today. Thank you so much. Thank you. They're coming. They're coming. Come, come. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Come. Make your way to the altar where Christ will meet you, where God's love will receive you, where the Spirit of God will empower you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, do me a favor. Look to the right and the left. With a warm, compassionate look, say, listen, I understand it's not easy. You raise your hand, honey, I'll go with you. Come on, let's go together. Would you ask that person next to you, right or left? Ask them that, then take them by the hand and bring them to the altar as we worship our King.